On Monday, we learned of one of the championship matches at Bash in Berlin at the end of this month. We just had SummerSlam this past weekend, and WWE already has another PLE coming up at the very end of this month. So we know what that match is going to be. Tonight, we found out what the other championship match is going to be. I wasn't sure that Cody Rhodes would even be defending the WWE title on that show, to be perfectly honest with you. He didn't defend it at Money in the Bank. I thought maybe there would be a possible tag match. Maybe we'd get even Cody and Roman on one side of the ring together. But we did find out tonight that Cody is going to be defending the WWE title in Berlin against a very interesting name, a name that he is very familiar with, but as an ally, not as an enemy. You know, Dynamite on Wednesday was mostly a bore. I enjoyed tonight's show more, but not much. Tonight's show really wasn't that much better, if we're being honest here. I know some people might disagree on that. It really wasn't that much better until the closing segment, because look, that's what everybody was waiting for. What is Roman Reigns going to do? What is Roman Reigns going to say? We saw his return at SummerSlam on Saturday. OTC across the chest. We had no words tonight from Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns did not speak. So if you were waiting to hear from him and what he thinks of what's been going on of late with the Bloodline, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Tonight was not the night for that. The crowd, though, was white hot for Roman Reigns. From the moment they hit his music to the moment that he came out and he ran roughshod over all of the members of the Timu Bloodline, he went ape on all of them, and they loved every second of it. No Jacob Fatu tonight, though. He was not out there, along with the other members. But they set the stage for a battle between Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. It's going to be the Battle of the Ulafala. We have CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. They are feuding over a bracelet. We have Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. They are feuding over a necklace. We had MJF hitting Kyle Fletcher in the head on Wednesday with his diamond ring. All we need now is a gold watch, and we can open up our own jewelry shop. It was newsworthy, though, in that they set up Cody's next challenger, and they set up the first challenger for LA Knight and the United States Championship. We don't know when. We could presume in Berlin, but they didn't make that a formality yet. No Logan Paul appearance. I was curious if we might get him on the show tonight just because his foot was under the bottom rope when he got pinned at SummerSlam, and I thought maybe they're going to turn that into a story, try to milk one more match out of it, but outside of a couple of Logan Paul name drops in LA Knight's promo, that was the end of that, and clearly they are moving on, which is fine with me, especially if he's not going to be full-time. I'm okay with that, but I wasn't sure if maybe they would turn that into a story. But I will say this. In the battle of the post-SummerSlam shows, Monday Night Raw wins the day with ease. Easily. Monday Night Raw wins the week. And frankly, it wasn't even close. But let's discuss this SmackDown show. This is your WWE SmackDown review here. It is Friday night, August 9th. 2024. I am the Sala Monster. Now, we had Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam retaining the WWE Championship over Solo Sikoa. He was the first man out tonight here on SmackDown on his way to the ring. He referred to the WWE title as the North Star of our industry, said he's been giving some thought to who he would want to defend the title against at our next big event coming up at the Bash in Berlin. And before he could tell us, before he can enlighten us about who he was thinking about, he was interrupted by Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa. And I just thought, man, you know, he's about to tell us who he's going to defend the title against. And Solo Sikoa interrupts. And my first thought was, oh God, not again. Once is enough. It's the rematch that nobody asked for. Please, let that not be what this is. Thankfully, it wasn't. But we had Tama, we had Tonga Loa, we had Solo, no Jacob Fatu. Cody said that Solo could not get the job done and cause Fatu to get hurt. Cody said he beat Solo in the middle of the ring, and he is delusional if he thinks that he is entitled to a rematch. So the Bloodline climbed up on the apron. Kevin Owens entered the ring from behind. He had two chairs. And for a brief fleeting moment, not that it would have made any sense, it really wouldn't have. I mean, he just helped the man on Saturday. But for a brief fleeting moment, I did think that maybe Cody was going to get hit in the back with a chair by Kevin Owens. But there's still time for that to happen. He handed one of the chairs to Cody, and the Bloodline dropped down off the apron. Solo said he would deal with Cody later after he finds Roman Reigns. So they played Cody's music to end the segment, and Cody said, "Turn it off. Turn the music off." Owens had already started leaving the ring, and Cody invited him back inside. He said, "Look, there's something I want to talk to you about. Just come on in here. Got to talk to you about something." He said it would be uncomfortable, what he wants to bring up, and Owens would likely say no. I didn't know where this was going. I thought Cody was about to make a very interesting proposition to this man, but he said, "Look, on the subject of who he wants to defend his WWE championship against," he said, "Kevin, I would like to face you. Pikachu, I choose you." Owens requested a microphone. He said, "Look, as much as I appreciate this, I don't deserve a title match." He said the title matches need to be earned, and he has done nothing to earn it, even pointing out his less than stellar win-loss record for the year. He said he's not the guy. And Cody pointed out, "Well, you know what? The crowd is chanting, 'You deserve it.'" And he said that every time he needed somebody in the trenches with him, Owens got down in that foxhole with him. Kevin Owens was there right alongside him every time he needed him, including on Saturday, by the way, at SummerSlam. Rhodes said that Owens can say no all he wants, but he's going to go to the back. He's going to go to Nick Aldis, and he's going to explain all the reasons why Kevin Owens deserves a championship match. And Cody said he would see Owens at the Bash in Berlin, and all Owens could do is just stand there and shake his head. Well, you see, that's what happens when you run out of heels to challenge your champion, your top babyface on the show. Because look, I mean, Cody's already beaten Logan Paul. He's already beaten AJ Styles twice. Now he has vanquished Solo Sikoa. Roman Reigns is not getting the shot, certainly not anytime soon. And Randy Orton is over on Raw getting ready to challenge Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship in Berlin. That leaves Kevin Owens. Question is, does he turn? Do we get a Kevin Owens heel turn here? I don't think he has to. Randy has to. I mean, he's got to. So I think Randy Orton more so, and probably will, when the time is right, end up turning heel. But the thing is, SmackDown could use another top heel. They could use another heel at the top of that roster right now. They really are in need of someone in that spot. And KO could certainly fill that spot, at least until Randy Orton ends up in that spot. So you can make the argument for why he should. But I mean, you know, in terms of doing this match, I don't think that there is a need for Kevin Owens to turn heel. Now, he's played that part very well before, right? Kevin Owens has flip-flopped back and forth a few times. People love him. I think they want to cheer for him, but we know he could be a great heel. So if they want him to go heel, he's going to kill it, and at least he'll fill a void that I feel exists right now at the top of that SmackDown roster. The question also is, how is this all going to sit with Randy Orton, especially after he loses to Gunther, which he will, at the Bash in Berlin? He's going to get his World Heavyweight Championship match. He's not going to win. And when he loses again, because I've been pointing it out, I mean, Kevin Owens talks about less than stellar win-loss records. You take a look at Randy Orton. Randy Orton has done nothing but lose all year. He has zero wins on PLEs. The Rumble, The Chamber, Mania, Backlash, King of the Ring, Money in the Bank. Didn't even have a match at SummerSlam. You talk about a less than stellar year. Okay, thy name is Randy Orton. When he loses again, that might be the impetus for him to finally say, you know what, I've had enough of this shit. I've had enough of the losing. I've had enough of putting my neck out there for other people and looking out for other people and being friends to other people. And what do I have to show for? What do I get in return? Nothing. But the idea that Cody Rhodes would come out and would say, you know what, Kevin Owens, you deserve a shot at the World Championship. I'm going to give you a title match, even though Orton has his own. You have to wonder if that might come back in a future Randy Orton promo after the eventual turn, if we might bring it back to this moment here. If this might be something that gets mentioned again down the line. I think they'll come back to this moment. And as a match, hey, I'm looking forward to Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens. I think it's going to be a great match. Fatu not being there tonight is concerning. It is concerning considering all of this talk about how, oh, it was just the work. He was just selling. It was meant to be a part of the match, which is what I thought on Saturday when I initially saw it. I said, man, you know, he's doing a really good job of selling, but it makes sense because they want him out of the way for when Roman comes out, right? They want the focus to be on Roman and Cody and Solo, and who is he going to go after? We don't want him, you know, Jacob Fatu being a part of that. Then I saw him in the walking boot, as many of you did, I'm sure. He was in a walking boot. And not even present on the show tonight, Cody referenced him getting hurt in his promo. And I thought, well, maybe he'll come out later in the show. No, he was not on the show at all tonight. So you think back to him in the walking boot in 7-Eleven, I don't think that's working an injury at 7-Eleven at fucking midnight. And some random person who happens to snap a picture of him. So whatever the injury is, obviously he's hurt. Hopefully it's nothing serious. It's minimal, I hope. And they're just keeping him out more so as a precaution than anything else. And don't forget, he's one half of the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions. But like I said, hopefully it's nothing serious and he won't be out for too long. And if they need to get the tag team titles off of him, it's not that hard to do. You just put the belt on Tongaloa. As funny as that is to say, just put the tag team title on the one-eyed man, and he could fill that spot if need be. We had the Street Profits against Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Tongaloa is holding the tag belt. Well, yeah, he was holding the tag belt now because Jacob wasn't there. I'm talking officially. He's not officially recognized yet as one half of the tag team champions, but if they need him to be, then it's very easy for them to just slot him in there, and they have the Gorillas of Destiny be the tag team champions instead. Hopefully that won't be necessary, though. Street Profits against Theory and Waller. Angelo Dawkins in a promo at Gorilla right before they came out pointed out that it's been 3 years since they have held tag team gold in WWE. Has it really been that long? I guess so. 3 years since they have been tag team champions in this company. And they are determined to get them back since the winner of this match would meet the winner of the match later in the show between DIY and Pretty Deadly. Theory got left all alone towards the end here with the Profits. He fell victim to their double team super blockbuster and got pinned. So the Street Profits are moving on. Crowd was hot for this match. They were hot for the Street Profits, which is encouraging to see. They lost Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley was the leader of the Pride. And the Pride is no more. Now it's just the Street Profits and B-Fab. And they've kind of been stuck in limbo, it feels like, for a while. But they're still super over. And that's good to see. And now they're moving on to potentially challenge for the tag team titles. But, yeah, as far as the match itself, a very basic match. I mean, you know, if you've seen any of the recent Street Profits matches, they hit all their big spots. Crowd was up for it, but not much else to say about it. Now, in the back, Cody and Kevin Owens were speaking with Nick Aldis in his office, and Owens again said he does not deserve a title shot. And Aldis said, well, it's a moot point anyway, because he was waiting to talk to Roman Reigns later tonight about a championship match. And this did not sit well with Kevin Owens. Owens objected to the idea that Roman Reigns would walk back in and get a title match. He said he doesn't care how long Roman was champion for, because Nick Aldis tried to point out 1,300 days, I think almost 1,400, but 1,300 and change as the champion. And Kevin Owens said, I don't care. I don't care how long he has been the champion for. For all the times that he had Roman beat during his run, which is true. I mean, they had, I think, three different PLE matches, maybe four, I think three, during the time that Roman Reigns was champion. And pretty much every single time, Kevin Owens got fucked out of a win by the Bloodline. So if anybody has a right to be upset about this, it is Kevin Owens. Because he was maybe more of a victim than anybody else was to the Bloodline during this run. And he said, look, Roman always needed outside help against me to keep his title, and I get it. Says when you're the champion, you do what you have to do. But he asked if it had to do with the rematch clause, because he pointed out that the rematch clause has not been a thing for a few years, and he never got his rematch when he lost the Universal Championship, which is also true. When he got beat by Goldberg, Kevin Owens never got another shot at the Universal title. And hopefully never will, because the Universal title shouldn't be a thing anymore. I don't even know why they have it listed on WWE.com. It is, to me, it is the stupidest thing. I mean, first of all, it's stupid to still call him the Undisputed Champion, because we have two world champions in this company now. But if you go to WWE.com and you go to the Superstar page, was it 1316? Okay. BlizzFan says 1,316 days for Roman Reigns as champion. So I guess closer to 1,300 than 1,400. But if you go to the Superstars page right now, it has Cody Rhodes listed twice still, because he's the WWE champion and he's the Universal champion. It's the stupidest thing. Just end the lineage of the Universal title and just make it the WWE title. Why do we need to still maintain the lineage and the name Universal title? It should no longer exist. It is useless. Get rid of it. They should have gotten rid of it the moment they had one belt instead of having Roman carry around two. Once the blue belt went away, no more Universal title. So he told Aldis to go to the locker room, just open the door, and you will not have any problem finding someone in that locker room worthy, more worthy than Roman Reigns, of challenging for the championship. Can I just say, I smile every single time in this promo and in the opening segment that I heard Kevin Owens say the words title shot instead of championship opportunity. It's the little things that make me happy. I just wanted to say that, because he said title shot so many times here, and it hit me. It's that, you know, there was a period of time in this company where you couldn't say that. Can't say title shot. Championship opportunity. Like I said, it's the little things that bring me joy. Anyway, after this rousing speech that Kevin Owens gave, that was enough to convince Nick Aldis that Owens was worthy of the shot, the selfless man that he is. And he made it official for Bash in Berlin. It will be Cody Rhodes defending the WWE title against Kevin Owens. After Owens left, Cody told Aldis, I told you it'd work. Sneaky, sneaky. So his plan paid off in the end. The thing I love, well, one of the many things I love about Kevin Owens, or the Kevin Owens character in WWE, is how logical he is. And it's not just in this segment. I mean, this has been a recurring characteristic of Kevin Owens on TV. Common sense prevails with him. In so many different segments, he will point out obvious things that nobody else would that make me sit here and go, you know what? He's right. I'm glad somebody mentioned it. And he did that here in this segment. He mentioned the automatic rematch clause and how he never got an automatic rematch. And, you know, everything he was saying here, he was making sense. When he explains it, it just makes sense. And I could appreciate that he is taking the time here on this show to break things down and explain why this doesn't make sense, why this does. So I love that aspect of it. And he's right. Why should Roman Reigns come back? I know he's a big star. But why should Roman Reigns come back and be gifted a championship match in his first match back? Right? He hasn't wrestled since WrestleMania. So had he gotten the shot in Berlin, it would have been Roman Reigns in his very first match back getting a rematch for the championship that he held for 1,300 days. To me, it shouldn't matter whether you're the champion for a week, for a month, 3.5 years. You lose. Unless you have an automatic rematch clause that they're utilizing, that's it. You're done. It's on to the next. The fact that he was champion for so long, in my opinion, is exactly why he should not get a title shot. people have asked me, when do I think Roman Reigns is going to get a shot? When do I think Roman Reigns is going to win the belt back? Roman Reigns does not need the title. He doesn't. Not for a long time. Because he could win the championship back, and even if you want it back next month, right, he's not going to match the run that he just went on. That run cemented him. It cemented his legacy. It cemented his Hall of Fame career in this company. When he goes into the Hall of Fame, he's going in as the man who held the championship for 1,300 days, right? The longest title run of the modern era. Unless you count Hogan, which I think you should. So, second longest. But in any event, it makes sense. Kevin Owens was making a lot of sense here. And I like how Cody and Aldis just used Roman getting a shot to bait Owens into saying what he said. Because that was the impression that I was left with. That Nick Aldis was not really considering Roman Reigns. It was all just part of their little scheme. And it worked. They set the trap. They reeled him in. And they baited him into it. So I thought that was smart. But it also makes sense that Kevin Owens would not be happy about the idea of Roman getting a shot because of everything Roman has put him through. And this goes to another point that I've made recently about a possible OG Bloodline reunion. Which after tonight seems, I mean, what the hell do we even need one for? I'll get to that at the end of the show. Roman looked like he was doing pretty well out there without any friends or any family backing him up, but that's for later. But I don't want to see these people like a Jey Uso. I don't want to see these people just willingly hugging or shaking hands with and forgiving Roman Reigns. Kevin Owens has every right to be upset with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns made his life hell for years. Screwed him out of the championship multiple times. And gaslighted Sami Zayn and made him feel like the Bloodline was his family. And Kevin Owens saw through it the entire time and tried to convince Sami. And it took Sami a long time to come to the realization that, holy shit, Kevin Owens was right. Right? All the stuff. Kevin Owens is no fan of Roman Reigns. Jey Uso should not be a fan of Roman Reigns. Sami Zayn should not be a fan of Roman Reigns. Jimmy Uso should not be a fan of Roman Reigns. There needs to be some reconciliation playing out on television when we get to that point. None of these baby faces should be ready to welcome Roman Reigns with open arms. So I thought they played this well. Backstage, Tiffany Stratton was barking orders to one of the crew members about next week's championship celebration that she is preparing for Nia Jax, who beat Bayley at SummerSlam and is the new WWE Women's Champion. Pretty Deadly showed up. They wanted Tiffany to host their party when they win the tag team titles, and Stratton walked away once they started talking about their Pretty Deadly the Musical. As she's walking off, she ran into Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. After mocking Tiffany's outfit, Chelsea said that everybody knows that Stratton just wants to cash in her Money in the Bank contract on Nia Jax. And Stratton called her delusional. We had Jade Cargill one-on-one with Alba Fire. Alba used the old AJ Lee Black Widow submission, but Jade fought out of it easily and then finished her off with the Jaded. Blair Davenport, when it was over, blindsided Cargill. As Alba and Isla joined in on the attack, Naomi ran out to even the odds, and so it was Naomi, it was Jade, and it was Bianca at the end of all this, clearing the ring of all the heels. Right on cue, as I said last week, it should have been obvious to anybody watching, once Davenport attacked these two and cost them their tag team championship match, that it was going to be Naomi coming to their aid, and then we would get a trios match at some point. I don't know when. Probably a TV match would be my guess. I mean, they couldn't even get the women's tag team titles defended at SummerSlam, so I don't think they're going to do a six-woman tag in Berlin, but we are going to get that match soon. You know, Jade is interesting because she doesn't have a lot of singles matches. In fact, this is only the second one I can recall her having in the last few months. And both times they kept it very short, noticeably short. Remember her match with Nia Jax and the Queen of the Ring? Where Jade ended up getting a chair to the head and she got busted open on the cheek, I think it was. That match went 2 minutes. This match went 2 minutes. So they're still keeping her very, I guess, protected, you would say, in that way, and not having her in a longer singles match because she's not ready to have a longer singles match. So that's not, and again, we're only using a sample size of two matches here, but both times her matches went 2 minutes. So clearly they don't want her in there very long by herself. LA Knight was out next for a United States Championship celebration. Corey Graves sent a shout out to Letdown, the artist for LA Knight's new entrance music. That's funny. I thought he was describing the emotion that everybody feels when we hear a new Def Rebel song. But evidently that's the name of an actual music group. So, you know, he came out, he had new music, and honestly, if Corey hadn't mentioned that, I don't think I would have even realized he had different music. It's the same Def Rebel song, which actually is one of the Def Rebel songs that I don't mind. I actually kind of like LA Knight's usual theme music. It's the same music, but it's got different beats. So, like, if you pay close attention, it's a little bit different, but I don't think that if he didn't point that out, a lot of people would necessarily realize that there was anything different about the music. So while he does have new music, it's not exactly radically different than what he had before. It sounds the same to me. A little more bass, maybe. Maybe a little more drummy. But I didn't think there was anything wrong with it to begin with. They showed Lou Ferrigno in the front row. Makes me sad that there are probably some people watching this right now who are going to hear that name and they're not going to know who that is. Lou Ferrigno played the Incredible Hulk in the old TV series many, many years ago. Looking good for 72 years old. Man, he is still in fucking shape. Funny story. Early in my career, my PR career, I was trying to get Lou Ferrigno to make an appearance at a client event. I was representing a hearing aid company. It was like a special new type of hearing aid, and they were opening a whole chain of stores in different malls across the country. And this one was out in, where was this one? This one, I think, was out in Arizona, I want to say. So my job was to try to get Lou Ferrigno to make an appearance, because Lou was, I think, promoting all different kinds of things at the time. And so I, you know, looked up the contact information to try to reach the right person. I got the name of someone who I was told, who I thought was his manager, and had a whole conversation. And then it was like, all right, we'll think about it. I'll go over it with him. I'll let you know, call you back. And I come to find out at the very end that, you know, this manager that I was talking to is actually his wife. She was trying to like feel me out here just to see, you know, what the payday would be for the offer. But I didn't know until the very end. I was talking to Carla, his wife. So I always thought that was a funny story. Funny to me anyway. So LA Knight is in the ring and he's talking about how this title makes him a marked man. But he says he's been a marked man since the first day he showed up on SmackDown. He said that the game is still the same. He said he walks in, hits it, and quits it. Now, he said this a few times. I guess that's going to be one of the new catchphrases that he's trying to adopt. Usually used in a very different way, but he's going to try to use it. He's going to co-opt it now for himself and try to get this thing over. Hit it and quit it. That's what LA Knight is trying to do. So he tried to deliver his closing line. He was interrupted by Legado del Fantasma, Santos Escobar, Electra Lopez, Angel, and Humberto. And they get in the ring, and Escobar said, it's not every day that a guy like LA Knight finally gets a taste of gold. He said he doesn't buy Knight as champion. It's not a good fit. He said that he didn't hear Escobar. Knight said he didn't hear Escobar because Tulsa was telling Escobar that he sucks. Knight said Escobar had to qualify, and his opponent would be out here in a minute. He said Escobar wouldn't take his title, and it's not because he's not good enough. It's because he's not going to let him. And that was it. Then Andrade came out for the next match. A forgettable segment. It served its purpose. And I will say this. It is so nice. You know, for all the time that I complained about what are they doing with LA Knight? When is he going to finally be, you know, a champion in this company? Now he is. He had his big moment at SummerSlam. He's super over. He came out tonight. The place went nuts for him. And that belt looks good around his waist. You know, that belt's a good fit for him. And just seeing him out there, and again, being as over as he is, and one of the top stars on the brand, now he's a champion finally. It's really nice to see him finally make it to where he should be. This is where he was always meant to be. He's not meant to just be middling in the mid-card doing nothing. He was never meant to be a manager for someone else trying to get other people over. This is what he was destined to do. This is what he was destined to be. It was also reported this week that he, not that long ago, I guess, either signed a new deal or restructured his existing deal, which was set to conclude in 2025. Now he has signed for many more years for a nice big fat pay raise too. So LA Knight is staying put for many years to come in WWE. And it really is very incredible. I mean, think about the trajectory of this man's career, where he was a couple of years ago and where he is today. It is amazing to me to think back about how important timing can be. And sometimes when we talk about timing, it's factors that are out of our control. The timing of how everything went down with the Vince McMahon stuff, if that doesn't happen and come out when it does, which forces him out of his own company, I believe that LA Knight is not in WWE today. He's already gone because we don't get LA Knight back. We're still dealing with Max Dupree until he gets released. And I guarantee you, he would have been cut by now. He would be in AEW is where he would be. I firmly believe that. He would have been let go by WWE at some point in the last couple of years. He would be middling around somewhere on fucking Collision or Rampage right now. Okay, his career, I think, would look very different than it looks right now. But things worked out the way they did at exactly the right time. Triple H takes over. And what does Triple H do? One of the first things that he does, he kills Max Dupree and gives the man back his name and allows him to be himself. And the rest is history. And sometimes that's all you need to do, is just give the person a chance to be themselves. That's it. You don't have to give them a silly gimmick. You don't have to force them to be something they're not, that they're not comfortable in. So the timing for him could not have been better. I'm not exaggerating when I say that that saved his career. Everything that went down the way it did when it did saved this man's career. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. When you check a bag at the airport, I'm sure most of you put a lock on your bag. Those of you who don't, you really need to start, because you never know when some creepy dude may rummage through your personal belongings. Even some of those TSA agents, I don't trust them. Going online without ExpressVPN is basically the same thing. You wouldn't want people going through your private data either. So the best thing you can do is protect yourself. Your internet service provider knows every single website that you visit. And in the U.S., ISPs are legally allowed to sell that information to advertisers. It's crazy. ExpressVPN reroutes 100% of your traffic through secure encrypted servers, so your ISP can't see your browsing history. Now that I like. You want to know why ExpressVPN is the best VPN? Here's why. It hides your IP address. That makes it nearly impossible for third parties to track your online activity. It's also easy to use. You just fire up the app and click one button to get protected. And it's rated number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. When I use ExpressVPN, it's not to stay private every now and then. It's whenever I'm doing anything important. So I could be paying bills, submitting documents. I had a scan in my driver's license not too long ago for something. I had documentation that had my social security number on it. You know, stuff that I don't want falling into the wrong hands. The least I can do is push a button and protect myself from prying eyes. That's why it's important for me to be able to use the app. Protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/solomonster. And before the next match, we got a vignette for the returning Giovanni Vinci. Remember him? A lot of people probably forgot about him, or they thought he was out of the company. But he spoke Italian, so they had subtitles, and it looks like he's going to be doing the Rich kind of rich guy European gimmick that he was doing that basically more or less in NXT when they split him away from Imperium the first time and they started pushing him as a single, and that didn't last very long. But here it showed him in a Vegas hotel room. He was looking out, I think, at the strip. He was looking out the window. They spliced in footage of a man, I presume him, or supposed to be him, skiing down a slope. And then they showed him driving in a fancy red sports car. And then they gave his name at the end, and he's coming to SmackDown. I'm glad that they're trying again with him. He was put in a very perilous position when he was kicked out of Imperium. I thought that was going to be the end of him. That was my fear. And we have not heard a peep from him. He has not done anything since. He has not appeared on television until this vignette here tonight. His future, to me, looked very bleak. And to see that they're finally, you know, doing something with him and they're going to give him another shot, at least give him a shot. You know what I mean? Like, he's either going to get over or he's not. But he deserves to have the opportunity. You've invested a lot of time and years in him. Going back to when he first debuted in the Cruiserweight Classic. What year was that? 2016, I think? Maybe 2017? That's a long time ago. You've invested all this time in him. He is a very good worker. He can work his ass off. Will the gimmick work? I don't know. You know, that's what we're going to find out. At least he's going to get the chance to go out there and do it. I think that if you give him the chance, what you could end up having in him is a solid future contender for the United States Championship. Like, he can be at that level. One day, there could be an LA Knight Giovanni Vinci match, right? Not for some time, but he could be a solid addition to the mid-card here on SmackDown. So I hope it works out. I'm glad to see that Triple H is at least trying and giving him the opportunity because he deserves it. So we had Andrade one-on-one with Santos Escobar in a number one contenders match for the United States Championship. They picked up with this already in progress coming out of the break. Angel and Humberto, they got involved while the referee was tending to Andrade at one point, which brought out Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews, who fought them off. There was an awesome Poison Rana off the top by Escobar that dumped Andrade straight down onto his knee. I mean, he slammed his knees into the mat pretty hard to the point where he immediately grabbed his right knee and he was rubbing it and he was trying to, I guess, kind of work his way through whatever it was he was feeling at that moment. Thankfully, he was okay. He got up. He looked fine. Andrade hit the moonsault that he usually does into the second standing moonsault, got a great near fall out of it. Andrade looked to have the match won, but Carmelo Hayes showed up at ringside for the distraction. Electra Lopez had the referee distracted, which allowed Hayes to pull Escobar out of danger when Andrade came charging into the corner for the Meteora. This gave Escobar the chance to roll Andrade up with a handful of tights, and he got the pin. Crowd was really hot for this match. They were pretty hot all night, to be honest with you, for most of the stuff on this show. But they got treated to an excellent match here between these two. First time ever in the ring together. Andrade and Santos Escobar. And this was only part one. If this was part one, I look forward to part two. So I enjoyed this match. Knight and Escobar's interaction before the match should have told you who was going over here. I don't think they waste time doing that unless they're building to a match between those two. And so now we know he's the number one contender, first in line to challenge for the title. And Carmelo Hayes puts more heat on his ongoing feud with Andrade. Andrade is up 2-0 on him so far. So we know we're getting at least two more between these guys. I was going to say maybe do a 2-out-of-3-falls match with them, but we're already getting one on Raw this Monday. They're doing 2-out-of-3-falls between Bron Breakker and Sami Zayn. So maybe they do some kind of a full-blown series between them, best of 5 or 7 or something, I don't know. But, you know, they did what they had to do here to kind of further that program. So I thought it accomplished what it needed to, but the match itself I thought was very good. Backstage, A-Town Down. Enter Nick Aldis's office to complain about their recent bad luck, which included getting their asses handed to them by a guy named Jelly Roll at SummerSlam. You know, when you get your ass kicked by somebody named Jelly Roll, I mean, you're not doing too well. You're not doing very well. And they were complaining about being sent to Raw on Monday for a match on their day off. So Theory hypothetically mentioned the possibility of Waller having a singles match with Kevin Owens. And Nick Aldis liked that idea so much that he made it official for SmackDown next Friday. It will be Kevin Owens one-on-one with Grayson Waller. Waller was not happy. He asked Theory, what are you doing? And Theory told him not to worry about it. He said, just trust me. He said, I'm going to have your back the way you've had mine. Now, of course, Waller has made a lot of missteps that have resulted in Theory getting his ass kicked. So clearly this is an example of Theory getting some revenge for himself now. Speaking of them wrestling on Raw this past Monday, I thought one of the things I was looking for on the show tonight was to see if they explain what, if anything, Nick Aldis was getting in return for allowing the two of them to work the show on Monday. I thought there was some kind of a trade of some kind. All right, we'll let you use those guys on Monday. Let us use somebody else. It was never mentioned. There was no mention of the agreement that the two GMs made. There was no mention of Aldis getting anything in return. It's possible he still will. Maybe he's not cashing in on that favor right away, but I was surprised. I was disappointed that we didn't get any follow-up to that, unless there really is no follow-up. And they were just, you know, being nice to each other. And Pierce got something, and maybe Aldis is like, hey, it's gratis. Free of charge. You can have those two. But I really think that we should find out soon what he is getting in return from Adam Pearce. We had Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, DIY, taking on Pretty Deadly, with the winners challenging the Bloodline for the tag team titles, provided they can get past the Street Profits first. So that is what was at stake here in this match. Now, you didn't really think, did you, that Pretty Deadly was going to move on and potentially challenge the Bloodline now, did you? I mean, come on. You're smarter than that. Things broke down late in the match, which led to Pretty Deadly hitting a double-team chicken wing slam, but Gargano broke up the count. Prince and Wilson tried for another double-team move, but Gargano cut them off with a spear. The Shatter Machine followed, and then their meet-in-the-middle finish on Elton Prince, and that sealed the deal for DIY. The former champions pick up the win. That means it will be DIY taking on the Street Profits. I don't know when. I don't believe they announced it for next week, although it would make sense for it to happen next week. The winners of that match, though, whenever it happens, will become the number one contenders for the tag team titles against Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu, or Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, if Jacob Fatu is going to be out for a spell. And that's going to be a great match, actually. DIY and the Street Profits. I'm looking forward to that match. Babyface team against babyface team. I only hope they do it in front of a crowd as hot as the one we had in Tulsa tonight. They're in Orlando next week. So if they do it in Orlando, hopefully Orlando brings their best. And then we got to the closing segment of the show. Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa making their way out to the ring. Waiting for the Tribal Chief. The original Tribal Chief. With the Ulafala necklace around his neck, Solo demanded the Tulsa crowd acknowledge him, and they booed him instead. He said that he was the Tribal Chief now, and if Roman Reigns wants to call himself the Tribal Chief, and if he wants the Ulafala back, all he's got to do is come out and take it from him. And they played Roman's music. And this is the remixed Head of the Table theme that he used at SummerSlam on Saturday. And the place went nuts. And I should mention that I believe it was Fightful that reported that Roman Reigns has had new theme music made. And it's done. It's ready. Whenever WWE wants to debut it, maybe the next time he wrestles. But apparently he has a new theme song. Not this one, but a new theme song that we will be hearing very soon. The Head of the Table theme is great. But I guess they just consider it to be more of a heel theme, I suppose. And so we'll see. I would love to know who made the music. Was it Def Rebel or was it someone else? Now, Def Rebel, I think, did the Head of the Table theme, which is pretty badass. So, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day. So, I mean, it happens. But I guess we'll be getting some new music from him very soon. So Roman begins to make his way down to the ring. Solo sends Tongaloa and Tama Tonga outside to confront him, but they got beaten down in short order. Reigns picked up the top part of the steel steps and battered both of them with it. They were already laying on the floor, and he battered each of them. That left Solo Sikoa in the ring all by himself. Roman got up on the apron. Solo is removing his jacket. Roman climbs into the ring. We got tons of OTC chants from the crowd. I mean, my God, this guy makes one appearance. Literally, like, he made one appearance. That was Saturday at SummerSlam that he made an appearance with that shirt. And they've got 11,000 people here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in this building, chanting OTC like they're at the fucking pharmacy at Walgreens. So, didn't take very long for him to get that over. Roman steps into the ring, and the two of them go at it. Roman took him out with a Superman punch, set up for the spear, just like SummerSlam. But before he could come in for it, Tongaloa reached in and pulled him out to safety. But he left behind the Ulafala. And the Ulafala was laying on the mat. Roman walked over to it. He bent down. He picked it up. And before he could do anything, Tama Tonga ambushed him from behind with Tongaloa. Tama grabbed the Ulafala, handed it back to Solo, who was outside on the floor. Roman took out Tongaloa with a Superman punch. Took out Tama Tonga with a Superman punch. Gave Tongaloa a spear. Roman left the ring. He set up for another spear. This time he ran around the ring. He did his best Braun Strowman impression. Ran around the ring and ended up spearing Tama Tonga through the timekeeper's barricade. Roman grabs a chair, brings it into the ring, and he just proceeds to just lay into poor Tongaloa. He's already got one eye. The man is one-eyed, and now he is laying, being battered and beaten across the back and the arm with a steel chair, all while Solo Sikoa stands on stage and places the Ulafala around his neck, shouting, "I'm the chief now." Like that guy from the Tom Hanks movie. "I'm the captain now." He says, "I'm the chief now." Roman Reigns. You know what Roman Reigns just did? Roman Reigns single-handedly just took out this entire Wish bloodline all by himself. Now, granted, they were down one man, and that one man happens to be the one guy that I have been waiting to see in the ring with Roman Reigns, and that was, of course, Jacob Fatu. He was not there tonight. But Roman Reigns barely broke a sweat, beating up all the members of the bloodline. Took out Solo with a Superman punch, would have taken him out with a spear. He killed Tongaloa. He killed Tama Tonga. I'm not sure he even needs the Usos. Everyone's talking of, everyone's booking war games at Survivor Series. Everyone's booking out this bloodline civil war that, you know, I'm sure we're going to get. But, like, does Roman even need backup after tonight? I mean, I don't think so. Again, I understand Jacob wasn't there, but he could probably walk into War Games 4-on-1 and do okay by himself. I don't even know that he needs anybody's help. He doesn't have to make up and say sorry to anybody. It's like, fuck all of you. I'll do it by myself. But in all seriousness, we still have the return of Paul Heyman yet to come. We have the return of Jimmy Uso, which still hasn't happened. We have Jey Uso, and how, if at all, I'm sure he will be, worked into this story in these next few months. How does that happen? How does that play out? Lots of story left to tell here. Months worth of story left to tell in this whole bloodline drama. But it looks, it looks to me like they're setting up for Roman and Solo pretty quickly. Now, I don't know if Roman is going to have a match in Berlin. Today is August 9th. Berlin is August 31st. Roman, I believe, is back in Orlando on the show next week. After that, I don't know when the next time is we'll see him on TV, but I do believe he is supposed to be on the show next week. Maybe that's when we get to hear from him. He could be on the show next week, and they could issue, or he could issue, the challenge on that show for Berlin, and we get Roman and Solo at the end of the month. Because otherwise, you're looking to Bad Blood. Bad Blood is not until the beginning of October. So, you know, what do you do in the meantime? They're clearly building to Roman and Solo. But I'm just not sure if they want that necessarily on the Berlin card. They've got two championship matches they've already announced for that show. Probably a U.S. title match will be added. You would expect at least one women's championship match on that show as well. Or maybe they do the mixed tag that I think they're going to end up giving us with Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley against Dom and Liv. I could see that being a match on the Berlin card in front of that crowd. If it's one of those rowdy international crowds, oh my God. Roman and Solo doesn't have to be on that show necessarily, but they're already building to it. How long do we have to wait to get it? That's the question. How long do they want to make us wait and drag this out for? How long before we see Roman in the ring? I would expect that Roman's first match back is probably going to be against Solo. How long do they want to make us wait for it? That closing segment on the show tonight, though, that was the segment of the night. The whole show built to the return of Roman Reigns. They set up a championship match for Berlin. They set up the first challenger for LA Knight's U.S. title. They did the things they needed to do. I just didn't think on the whole the show was all that exciting. It wasn't terribly interesting to me. That's why I said at the beginning of this, if you're comparing the two, you look at the two post-SummerSlam shows, Raw absolutely blew this show out of the fucking water. I mean, this show and Dynamite. I mean, the show of the week was Monday Night Raw. It was like, I don't know, they took a hit of something on Monday, whatever it was. That show was incredible, and this show tonight could not hold a candle to the post-SummerSlam edition of Raw. So it was fine, but nothing terribly excited. I was not a huge fan of the show tonight, at least not until the closing segment. It's good to have Roman back. Even if he's not going to be on the show every single week, you know, we needed him back. We needed to get this story moved along, all the bloodline stuff. Now we have him back, and we can proceed as expected to the inevitable civil war that we are all about to bear witness to. And I'm looking forward to it. Here's a Twitter poll. SummerSlam, post-SummerSlam, edition of SmackDown. 79% thumbs up and just shy of 21% thumbs down for tonight's show at Solomonster on X. Please go ahead and vote and leave a comment, too. What did you think of the show tonight? What did you think of SmackDown? Well, let's find out. I'm going to go through your super chats. That's what I'm going to do. And you better get them on in. Once we're done, we're going to get the hell out of here. We're at 316 likes. What? I said 316. What? Hit that like button. We got a ways to go. If we're going to do Be the Booker, it's not looking good. But usually I say that and then you guys come through in the end. So hit that like button. SmackDown. Super chats. First one that came in tonight was from Lakers Pats 1, who said Drew should pull a boss man on Larry. Oh no. You had to go there. You had to go there. The big boss man, that whole run was like that whole run was something, man. He took Al Snow's dog Pepper and turned him into Pepper Steak. And you are saying that you want Drew McIntyre to do the same to poor Larry. What's wrong with you? Well, I'll tell you what, though. If he does, though, maybe he can get Food Hive to cook him up for him. Donnie Yasu. Can't believe that Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide, is coming to SmackDown. You know, I will say, it took me a few seconds to realize that was Vinci in that promo. I didn't realize it right away. Once I saw the subtitles and I realized he was speaking Italian, then I knew who it was. Because it reminded me of like those vignettes for him in NXT many years ago. But now that you mention it, yeah, I do see the comparison. We've got our friend with us tonight. My cock hurts. The Bloodline 2.0 is buried. Brother, if there's one faction I wouldn't be so worried about being buried, it is the faction full of Samoans. I think they're going to be just fine. Although it was funny, they spent all this time trying to build them up as like a serious threat. And then in one night, you get one guy all by himself. Even Cody Rhodes couldn't do it by himself. Even Cody, when he would be surrounded and swarmed, right? Was taken out. He was defenseless against them. He needed Kevin Owens' help. He needed Randy Orton's help. Roman Reigns, though, he doesn't need anybody's help. Clamp God. KO heel turn. Here we come. My favorite version. Prince Vegeta with the $4.99. Gold, silver, and bronze. And platinum. You can't add, man. Come on, you're going to add more? It's gold, silver, and bronze. On these what if WWE champion reigns that you would have liked to have seen. Vader, Samoa Joe, Owen Hart, Ken Shamrock, and Wade Batt. That's way too many people. You've named way too many people. But what I will say is I will give the gold to... Man, Vader really got fucking jobbed. Man, you know... I'm going to give the gold to Samoa Joe. He absolutely should have had a run. I'm going to give the gold to Samoa Joe and the silver to Vader, but it could go either way between those two. Silver to Vader. And I will give the bronze to Owen Hart. Because I do think there was an opportunity there in the summer of 94 in between King of the Ring and SummerSlam to do a title change. And then have him drop the belt back to Bray. It would have been brief. But I think if you were ever going to do it, that was the time to do it. Because they were working tons of matches at that time, I think, on the house shows. They had that one lumberjack match where they teased that Owen won the belt. And they took it away from him. Why not give him the belt? Have him drop it back to Bray at SummerSlam. Tyler Hansen. Wishful thinking, but I feel Cody's path to WrestleMania is... or will be breadcrumbs for a CM Punk Bret Hart-esque heel turn where he is tired of being nice and getting stepped over and backstabbed. I don't think so. No, we're not getting a Cody Rhodes heel turn anytime before WrestleMania, I can tell you that much. Josiah Ball, thank you for the $5 super chat. Josiah, I hope you're having a very good night. We have the Juliet 316. WWE announced a women's speed tournament on Twitter via Twitter. That's X to you, my friend. Yeah, I saw that. We're going to have a women's speed champion as well. I don't give a shit. I could not possibly care any less than I do. Prince Vegeta 95. Always love listening to your streams while I'm playing video games. Right now I'm playing Red Dead Redemption 2. It's one of my favorite games. Happy Friday. I never played Red Dead Redemption. I've heard great things about, I think, the second one, more so than the first. It's funny. Was it the Red Dead Redemption? It might have been one of the Red Dead Redemption games that, in the trailer, had that song that Bray Wyatt used. He's got the whole world in his hands. Because it wasn't that long ago. I heard the actual song, and it's actually a great song. I love it. I don't know who sings it. Was that used in one of the Red Dead Redemption games? I thought maybe it was, but maybe somebody can answer that for me. Raymond, thank you for the $12 learning tree. Raymond Guajardo. Jerome Eugenio, is the Diva stopwatch getting close to coming back? I think I may have to dust it off. It needs new batteries, though. I'm going to have to get some AAA batteries for it. He's got the whole world in his hands. Jeremy Rose with the $12 super chat. When do you see Heyman coming back? Do you think Solo will find his own wise man for the Timu bloodline? If so, who? I don't think he will. And when we see Heyman coming back, it could be with Jimmy. It could be that Heyman and Jimmy come back at the same time. When that is, I don't know. It could be the same time, the same night that Roman has that match with Solo. Pisco 95 with the 11.55. I still think Fatu's injury is a work just to keep him away from Roman for now. When that face-off happens, they will surely have Jacob go over. I don't know. I wouldn't be so sure. Also, that Cody and Owens feud could work if they turn KO heel. Yeah. You could prolong it. You can get more than one match out of it. If he loses in Berlin and then goes heel, could run it back in Bad Blood, but I'm ready for that Cody and Orton feud, man. Arby with the $12 learning tree. I rewatched the New Jack Dark Side of the Ring and was thinking, you think Tongaloa is smoking pencil shavings and that's why he is botching? May the blessings of Grimace upon you and the chat. Now, I don't know if it's pencil shavings. It could be glue. Maybe glue? You know how they sell those little bottles of the essential oils? They're very potent. Maybe he's been sniffing some of those bottles? I don't know. Tyler Hansen. When Randy turns heel, he has to punt kick Brandy, invade Cody's home, and threaten Pharaoh. Make the feud as personal as possible. No, he doesn't have to do any of those things. There are other ways that he can get to Cody and be as sinister and vicious as possible. But threatening his dog and breaking into his home. And we've seen him do stuff like that before. And certainly we've seen Swerve do that to Hangman on AEW television. I don't think Randy has to do that here. Jeremy says, bring Brock back to put over Jacob as a beast. Well, if we ever get Brock and Jacob, that's what I hope they do. I hope they have Jacob go over. But I was also hoping that they would have Joe go over him when they had that match at Great Balls of Fire. I know that the story has always been that Brock wanted to put Samoa Joe over. I don't know how true that is, but it didn't happen. I would hate for the same thing to happen to Jacob Fatu. Tyler says, Cody returns the favor to Roman at the end of 2024, mirroring SummerSlam. This time, though, Rock appears and we have a Mexican standoff to close a PLE. So, well, what are we thinking, though? Royal Rumble? Maybe you do it there? Tyler also with another $10 super chat. Tyler, thank you. Says, love the content, Solid Monster. You and the chat are such a welcoming community for a lonesome wrestling fan. Also, isn't it funny how no one really turns? Fans just cheer more at a certain point. Yeah, sometimes organically the fans will dictate who they like, who they don't. We hated this person, now we like them. Sometimes it works that way, and you just got to go with the flow. You know, sometimes you don't want to fight against the tide as it is coming in. It doesn't make any sense. And Tyler, thank you for the kind words, and we are very happy to have you here in our little community. Thomas, became a sound-off superstar. Thank you, and welcome to all of our channel members. Good to have you. You could always become a channel member. Hit that join button down below. Nick Grasso says, rest in peace, Taskmaster. Kevin Sullivan, we respect you, Booker Man. Yes, we do. Jeremy Rose, forget the personal issues, just running a company, booking. Who's worse, in your opinion, Tony Khan or Vince? Or Vince, 2010 to 2022. I mean, that's a broad period there. Like, it wasn't always terrible during that 12-year period that you just outlined. Now, if you knock that down to like 2018 to 2020, then the answer is Vince easily. Tyler with another $10 drop. Lucha Bros and Motor City Machine Guns, if both come to WWE, are rare assets where they elevate the tag division but also provide single stars for the mid-card and potential championships as well, if booked correctly. I agree on all those things. And I would love to see them get the chance. I think they deserve a chance to shine on the biggest stage possible, especially the Machine Guns. They've been around for so long, and they're still at the top of their game. They're still, you know, physically, like in the ring, they're still at the top of their game, and they just never had that chance. I'd like to see them have that chance. Project Libertad, comparing WWE shows this week with AEW, and all I can say is being an AEW fan is suffering. I miss Vince making AEW a better product. Just his mere existence made it a better product? Tyler Hansen, Cody versus Roman 3. Seems like a WrestleMania 42 or 43. True one-on-one for storyline supremacy. No title, just one last dance to know who's the better man. We'll get it at some point. I don't know if it'll be 43, 42. It's possible. It's also possible we get Cody and Rock at 41 and they save Roman and Rock for 42. Chris AXC, thoughts on a potential Cody LA Knight match being this generation's Hogan Warrior? LA might be the only guy who could get Cody some booze. Hogan Warrior. I don't like making those comparisons. Hogan Warrior, to me, as a younger wrestling fan, it really was larger than life. It was such a big deal. Maybe to the really little kids who don't know any better, they might look at it the same way, but I don't see it the same way. I'm sorry. They're two very overpopular baby faces, and I just don't see the benefit in doing that because LA Knight is not beating Cody Rhodes while he is the United States champion to win the WWE title. So unless you were doing it to elevate LA Knight to that spot and having Cody put him over, which now is certainly not the time to be thinking about that, I don't like it. I don't like it. I would not do that. The Juliet. Swerve to do an open challenge, title eliminator on Collision tomorrow, opponent unknown. Another open challenge. As long as it's not Jeff Jarrett. Oofman Entertainment. Imagine the pop that Brett could have gotten had he beaten Owen for the belt at the SummerSlam 94 in the greatest steel cage match of all time. Watch along. It is coming up, isn't it? The anniversary? Hey, you know what? He didn't win the title. He retained the title. And even still, go back and watch that pop he got as Owen was dangling on the side of the cage. His foot was stuck in one of the squares. And then Brett jumps down. And as soon as his feet hit the floor, look at all the people in the crowd. Look how crazy they went. Love that match. Darth Panic, do we have an update on Patricia? I have not heard from Patricia. We have got a search party out for her. I do think we scared her away the other night. I hope not. The reason that you wouldn't hear from her in the chat anyway is because the only people who can comment in the chat have to be subscribers for at least 2 weeks. So it's possible Patricia is watching this show right now as we speak, and she just can't say anything for another 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks, we'll find out if Patricia is still around. For those who don't know what that's in reference to, Patricia is a new subscriber who popped up on the channel the other day as a new subscriber at the exact moment that I was talking about stuff that I don't know why I was talking about it. I believe there was an anal bleeding mention in there and something else that I may have brought up. And it was at the exact moment that she joined the channel. And I just picture Grandpa Simpson, you know? Grand opening, grand closing. Thanks for coming. But hopefully she's still around. Thunder Force, Odyssey Jones, and Giovanni Vinci. It's not Da Vinci, it's Vinci. Giovanni Da Vinci is actually a better name, to be perfectly honest with you. Now waiting for the return of Tegan Knox. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Tegan Knox. And remember what I said the other night when Dakota Kai got attacked in the back before her match? I said, man, that feels like a way to write her off because of an injury. I don't know what the injury is, but apparently she is hurt. And I don't know when we're going to see her again. So, not good. Boney says, who do you think would have had a better run in the faction that they would have been in? Mark Jindrak in Evolution or Chris Hero in The Shield? Probably Jindrak in Evolution, I'm going to say. I heard that story about Hero and at least the suggestion was made about him being in The Shield. I think that would have been a terrible fit. And The Shield would not have been as successful with him in it. It just was not a good fit. I'm glad that didn't happen. Preflo Half Dollar with a pair of super chats. Who did Sid call a fat, bald-headed oaf? I remember laughing like crazy the way he said it. He said it to Mean Gene Okerlund backstage at WrestleMania 8. And he actually called him a fat, bald-headed little oaf, is what he called him. Yes, he was very mean to Mean Gene. Said, it's not delivery, it's Da Vinci. So where are we? Let's see. Where are we on the likes front for Be the Booker? Did we hit our goal? We did. And we are currently sitting at 406 likes. So thank you for that. We got over the hump. We got over the finish line. Alex Marvez is very excited about this.
Ah!
Yes, he is very excited about this. Alex, calm down. For the love of God, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Here we go. Always like to close out the week with a little bit of Be the Booker.
I am the learning tree.
As opposed to
thanks,
closing out the week with this guy. Again, the Juliet, thank you for the super chat. All right. We begin with Strike Force. The former tag team champions. We've booked ourselves a couple of Strike Force matches before. I like Strike Force. Good team, solid team from my youth. Strike Force going to get in the ring with the Hollywood Blondes of Steve Austin and Brian Pillman. Hey, you know what? That actually would have been a pretty damn good match. Austin and Pillman against Tito and Rick Martel. Martel should be in the Hall of Fame. Hopefully one of these days he'll accept the invitation. Hopefully he'll get the invitation and he'll accept it. Because he's somebody who I would like to see get a Hall of Fame induction. All right, women's Be the Booker. That is a good match, see? I like that match. We begin with, oh no, Maxine Dupree is injured. Oh no, Maxine. She rolled her ankle, it looks like. Spin for a second chance. All right, well, it's kind of pointless, but we're gonna had we already picked somebody, that would have made sense. But all right, let's take this for a spin again. Best wishes to Maxine Dupree. I hope she gets well soon. But for real this time, we begin with Ronda Rousey, the former women's champion, who has had a lot of comments to make since leaving WWE. Ronda Rousey. Going to go one-on-one with Natalya. Didn't we get that match once before, I think, on TV? I think we did. Not feeling it. I'm not feeling that one. I got to be honest. Hey, David Thiering, congrats on 3 months of channel membership. Says, JD and I killed it on Tuesday. Have a good weekend. Looking forward to the new Sound Off. That's right. Coming up on Sunday, episode 874. And thank you. We had a great TNT. I think the best Tuesday Night Titans yet on Tuesday. So thank you, David. All right. Main event time. Here we go. Let's go into the weekend with a killer match. Oh, my God. I don't believe this. We just landed on him the other night. On Wednesday, we booked Okada against Steve Blackman. And I actually gave that match the buzzer, which was a very controversial decision at that time. There's a lot of very divided opinion about that. And I think Blackman was very offended because he has popped up again for the second straight edition of Be the Booker. He is not happy. If I land on Okada and I have to decide on this match again, I am going to shit myself. Steve Blackman. One-on-one. Oh, for the love of God. This fucking guy. I can't get away from it. I just can't get away from it. Steve Blackman and the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho. The only reason I would even consider giving that match the bell is to see Steve Blackman absolutely just savagely beat this man with those kendo sticks. I can't believe this. What a horrible way to close out Be the Booker, 1-for-3, and we end with the Learning Tree. That's not the way I wanted it to end. I mean, I was hoping to do better for you guys, but Cameron Spencer. Did you see the clip of a man who Claymore kicked a random cop? Cop got pissed and arrested him for assault. What are your thoughts if you saw? I did not. I get these super chats and comments occasionally about these dumb videos. You guys must be living on social media. I haven't seen this video. I have no interest in seeing this video. It just sounds like an idiot who probably deserved to be arrested. It sounds to me like he got exactly what he deserved. Shouldn't be going around Claymore kicking people, let alone a cop. But no, I did not see this video. I told you, I watch cat videos on Instagram. I don't watch videos of idiots doing stupid things. The videos with the cat, occasionally somebody will do a stupid thing to a cat and the cat will hit them back or bite them or hiss at them or something, and that's funny. But that's what when I have some downtime and I'm on social media, that's what I watch. I don't watch this other shit. Huffman says, Steve motherfucking Blackman will chop down that learning tree. I'd love to see it. I'm going to start a campaign, Steve Blackman for FTW champion. Forget Hook. Let's bring back Blackman. Have him win the FTW title. Creflo Half Dollar. If we blame Austin for what, do you blame Steve Blackman for kendo sticks? You know, I don't, because I don't remember when the kendo sticks became like a regular occurrence. But I don't remember it becoming a regular thing like immediately after Blackman started using them on TV. So I don't know if I could directly blame him for it. He might be responsible for it, but I don't want to blame him because I don't want to make him angry. Creflo Half Dollar, didn't Blackman train in the Heart Dungeon? He did. He did. God, what was it that he got sick with? He almost died. I mean, he was sick for, God, he was bedridden for years. Might have been in Africa, but he got very, very sick. Cholera? Maybe he got cholera? Or am I thinking of the Oregon Trail? David Thiering with the $5. Steve Blackman, Darby Allin's flamethrower, and kendo sticks equals one chopped down and burned Chris Jericho learning tree. We can only dream. I'd love to see it. From your lips to Tony Khan's ears, let's make it happen. Oh, malaria. Okay, that's what it was, not cholera. So I was thinking of the Oregon Trail. Yeah, you know, he had malaria. He got very, very sick. And that's why, go look at early pictures of Steve Blackman from the beginning of his career, like late 80s, and how much like thicker he was. I mean, he looked like a totally different person than the one you saw in 1997. But he got sick and he just kind of dropped off the face of the earth there for a long time. New Jack Twitter. New Jack would be, his account would be suspended. So New Jack would not last very long on Twitter. That I can promise you. Not if he tweeted the way he cut promos in Smoky Mountain. His account would have been suspended. Maybe not on Elon's Twitter, but before that, when Twitter was at least somewhat sane, but not really, his account would have been suspended. How do I think today WWE would be if Vince was around? I don't think about that. I'm glad he's not around. Fuck him, and he never return. Our days are much better when we don't think about or talk about Vince McMahon. What if we get Steve Blackman on every Be the Booker net? Well, then I'll have to take him out. I'll have to remove him. That's all. Not going to do that every week. Thank you guys for hanging out with me on a Friday night. I hope you enjoyed the show and Be the Booker, even though it was less than stellar. A less than stellar edition of B2B. I will be back with you live on Monday night after Monday Night Raw, but you can catch episode 874 of The Sound Off. That'll be out later in the afternoon on Sunday, so just keep an eye out for it. Subscribe to the channel, not just this channel, but the podcast, wherever you get your audio podcasts, and that way when it goes up, it'll pop right up in your feed, and you can stream it to your heart's content. Thank you for getting me in the top 10 again, by the way. The top 10 wrestling podcasts in the USA. We cracked the top 10 this week. Let's do it again next week. So be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great night, and I will see you for episode 874 of the Solomonster Sounds Off on Sunday. Until then, take care, guys.